This is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a guest author, Cassandra Montag, whose first novel, After the Flood, was recently published by William Morrow. Cassandra grew up in rural Nebraska, earned a master's degree in English literature, and now lives in Omaha with her husband and two sons. Cassandra, welcome to All About Books.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Well, just tell me about your book, After the Flood.
After the Flood is a post-apocalyptic novel, and it takes place roughly a century in the future, after a global flood has flooded the earth, really reducing the earth to just mountaintops above water. And the story is about a mother who goes on a journey to rescue her older daughter who's being held captive up in a northern colony. So it's really this survival story. It's a story about a mother's love, and it's also a story about how we try to hold on to hope after we've lost the things that matter most to us.
How does that story open then?
Yeah, so it actually opens with her oldest daughter being kidnapped. It's this really exciting opening prologue where she's looking out the window and the flood is rising around them and her older daughter is being sped away, kidnapped on a boat. And so that's kind of where it opens. And then it jumps forward to 7 years in the future after her second daughter is born. And she's surviving by fishing from a small boat, protecting her younger daughter, but desperately missing her older daughter who is kidnapped.
Tell a little bit about this world that you've created. What is the impact of all this flooding in the way that people live their lives?
It changes everything. And in the book, I go through it fairly quickly, but countries essentially fall apart. Governments collapse. There is fighting over resources. And so at times it can be a bit dire. Yet I try to balance that with the love between the characters and the way that in these kind of survival stories, I think we can see the best and the worst of humanity. We can see the ways that people come together in a community to help each other. And so I really wanted to balance light and dark in this very difficult world.
I understand that part of the genesis of your idea came from your own experience and kind of an idea that entered your mind in a certain way. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I had been living in the Netherlands, and I came home to Nebraska and became pregnant with my first son. And I started having these recurring pregnancy dreams of a giant flood. In the dream, I was standing in my upstairs window watching a wave of water coming across the prairie. And it was just this, sort of a nightmare full of horror. And from there, I started to just have these sort of images in my mind's eye of a mother on a tiny boat with her little daughter, trying to protect her daughter, knowing, as I had this image, that she had another daughter that she needed to try to rescue and be reunited with.
On the cover, you have chosen a tagline called, that is, courage is a force of nature. How does that relate to that compelling image that you just described?
You know, when I think of that tagline, I think of a quote by Maya Angelou, and I hope I get this right, but she essentially says that courage is the first virtue, because without courage, we cannot practice any other virtue consistently. And I love that. And I think that so much of the book is about having the courage to make really difficult decisions and how that that courage of making difficult decisions gives you a different kind of forcefulness in life to meet up against the forces that come against you, whether they be environmental, whether they be health, whether they be issues with family or work. And I really hope that readers can take away a sense of, the value in that kind of courage that Myra, the main character, embodies.
Much of your previous writing has been along the line of short stories, and you have published several short stories in many different kinds of publications. What was the transition like then into writing a full novel?
Yeah, it was really difficult. And I'd also written a lot of poetry. And so for me, I think the difficulty was, you know, these shorter forms, they don't need to have the same sort of narrative momentum in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I had to really learn, you know, what it means to have a different idea for the scope of the book. You know, a novel needs to have a larger idea, a larger cast of characters. And particularly in moving from poetry to long form fiction, I had to learn a lot about storytelling that I felt like I didn't know about. I had to learn about how do you create a sense of movement with characters making choices and creating their own fortune. And so, you know, plotting, storytelling, all of that was something that I had to learn. And I really learned it by studying a lot of other books.
By doing a lot of reading then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know what of the authors or books that you read, which ones were the ones that either stayed with you or helped you the most on that journey?
I love Cormac McCarthy's The Road. And, you know, that has already gotten some comparisons to After the Flood and that it's also a journey tale, also about a parent's love
sure.
for his child. That was influential. Also, the Hunger Games trilogy. You know, even though After the Flood is for adults, it's not YA, the Hunger Games trilogy does have this sense of action-adventure that I really wanted After the Flood to convey. So I would say those were two influences. Also, Margaret Atwood. She's written a number of different sort of dystopian and post-apocalyptic novels. And so her sort of visionary talent at looking at the future and imagining things was also really inspiring for me.
How has, in general, the process of writing a novel impacted the way that you read?
It's made me pay a lot more attention to narrative structure. Where does the book begin? How does it move? Even little details sometimes like what are the lengths of the chapters? Where are we skipping over time? So I would say structure is probably the main thing. But I've always in my, since, you know, writing poetry, and then also now, I've paid a lot of attention also to language, you know, just on a sentence level, what kind of images are being conveyed, you know, is this a sentence that's pushing the story forward? Is it a sentence that's inviting the reader into deeper reflection and learning how to deal with those sort of different shifts so that you can know exactly how and where you're leading your reader?
When I hear you describe that, I'm considering how it is that I typically read a novel without thinking of those things. And I think as we review books and talk about books, often those things become more apparent in the talking about a book that maybe wasn't apparent just in general reading. You might have a sense mm-hmm. of pace or a sense of the setting, and then you have to go back and find that. So in my conversations with writers, I find that many talk the way you do as far as you read a book, seeing what's behind it, sort of holding it up.
Exactly. Looking at, sometimes I think of it, I used to like to sew mm-hmm. clothing, and I think of it as looking at the seams of a garment. You know, when you go shopping, you normally don't look at the seams, but, you know, if you're someone who creates clothes, who sews clothes, you do. You pay attention to that. So it's very similar.
Tell me a little bit about your Nebraska upbringing. Where are you from? And I'm also curious to know, where would you say your Nebraska upbringing shows up in your novel?
I grew up on an acreage right outside Kearney, Nebraska, mm-hmm. and I was a tomboy when I was little, and I lived close to the Wood River, and I used to just go and play, and I just practically lived outside in the summers. And so I think that love for nature and all of that time spent just running wild in nature has influenced my writing by giving me some descriptive powers. You know, I really love to describe nature. And so I think that's probably the main way. And another way that Nebraska shows up in the book is that it actually begins in Nebraska, because the main character is living in Nebraska when the world is flooding. And Nebraska is one of the last states to be flooded. And so she has witnessed all of the migrations and all of the chaos that the earlier floods have caused. And so, you know, she's a good viewpoint character because she's already sort of viewed all of that turmoil, and now she's having to take a leap of faith and get on a boat and sail away from her home state.
Going back to what you described as far as being in nature so much as a young person, at what point did you begin writing then?
Yeah, so I was always an imaginative child. I wrote my first, what I call my book series, when I was 7. And I used to love to draw pictures and then write out the story. And it was a story about a man and his dog who survived in the wilderness together and had just different little adventures. So it was sort of an episodic adventure tale of a man and his dog.
Do you still have that series?
I do, yeah.
How does it seem, seeing from now having your first novel published by a major publishing company?
Yeah, it's so funny to look back. I kind of wish I could tell my younger self to trust herself more. You know, I think the process of being a writer can be filled with a lot of self-doubt and uncertainty about where you'll end up and if anyone will read your work. And I kind of wish I could have comforted her, because I think I had a lot of, just a lot of anxiety over the years about, you know, whether or not I'd be able to actually see a book in print. So it's a wonderful, you know, wonderful place to be now.
I know that we often think of writing as a fairly solitary activity, but I've also been impressed when writers talk about the community of writers. Are there particular people that you've connected with in terms of gaining that sense of confidence?
I met some different students in graduate school. I got my MA at Creighton, and I'm still in touch with a lot of them. We actually meet every month for a workshop, and so we read each other's work, and we offer commentary, criticism, encouragement, and that group has been very helpful to me, because it is, like you said, you know, you write in isolation, but community is still an important part of it.
Well, Cassandra, thank you so much for being my guest on All About Books today.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Cassandra Montag, whose novel After the Flood was recently published by William Morrow. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.